What's funny is I can actually picture you being very excited watching a Nintendo Direct. What's up, everyone? Welcome to the 143rd episode of the Pokemon Podcast. My name is SBJ, and that never ever gets old. With me today, I have Kenny returning with us. You heard him last week, but he is here in the flesh today.
Yeah, hello.
And by in the flesh, you mean that in a few minutes you will be arriving, like, through the internet.
Yeah, I will. Yeah, for anyone who's listening.
And that other person needs no introduction. That is the always funny, always here, Travis.
Oh, I'm at least the second one. Last week was rough. I totally misunderstood. I thought we were going to Midwest Gaming LASIK. So I went to a completely different convention where I got laser eye surgery. I mean, on the plus side, I don't have to wear glasses anymore. But on the downside, I have huge bills that I will not be able to pay.
How does gaming LASIK work?
You have to, if you get a high score, you get a discount.
Oh, okay. Okay.
Or they just do one of your eyes and then you wear a monocle.
What
does that have to do with gaming?
Yeah. I'm not sure.
Steve's like, it's like Oculus Rift, you know, monocles.
Monocles and stuff. Speaking of things that go on your eyes, I tried Google Glass the other day.
Yeah? Yeah?
It's pretty cool. I mean,
you feel like a nerd?
It doesn't, like, do much. Like, you can have...
Yeah.
Tell it to send a text, or like you can wink. I'm winking right now, but our listeners cannot see.
And
if you wink, it takes a picture, which is a little scandalous.
Yeah, it's gross.
A little bit. You know what else is gross? That there was literally no Pokemon news since our last recording, except there's this game coming out. I don't think it's that popular at all. It has brothers in it, and they smash, and it's on a console that no one bought.
Oh, is it like a frat game?
It is, yeah.
Bros, it's called Super Bro Smash. it's just beer pong, the video game.
Or it could be like Super Smashed Bros.
Does it have like a subtitle? Am I missing Super Smash Brothers 4?
It's just called DS and or 3DS and Wii U.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
I think our listeners know what we're talking about by now. Super Smash Bros. 4, they had like this whole Nintendo Direct dedicated to it about 2 weeks ago. And they showed some new characters. Surprisingly, there was a one more thing kind of thing after they said their goodbyes. Mm. And we see a whole lineup of Pokemon. And my Twitter blew up of everyone yelling Pokemon Trainer. But in reality, we just got Charizard. So let's talk about that first.
You want to go first, Travis?
Yeah, sure. It is sort of a surprise, I guess, to see that we have Charizard and no confirmation of Pokemon Trainer returning. I wouldn't be surprised if they introduced, like a grass starter final evolution, and then from the new game or from some other generation other than 1 or 6, and then made those the 3 Pokemon that the Pokemon Trainer would have, and so then the character of Pokemon Trainer would come back. But if Charizard is its own character as it sort of appears to be now, that'll be interesting. It'll be sort of boring in the sense that we've already seen most of its moves. It'll have a different down B, I guess, but so it's sort of a recurring character, but also a new one in the same sense.
Kenny, your thoughts?
Personally, I'm happy that they divided it. I mean, Nintendo does some weird stuff with Smash, and I could speculate all day on this because I've played quite a bit of competitive stuff, and I'm really into that scene, but I have never been a huge fan of characters that turn into other characters because it puts too much pressure on you to master multiple characters at the same time, and most of the time it just ends up with, instead of you being really good with one character, you're just okay with like two or three. That was really common in Zelda and Sheik. I noticed a lot of people would only play one or the other, and I don't play either of them too much, but I know that, you know, it's, for me, I liked playing one over the other. And Squirtle, Ivysaur, and Charizard were so different that you only had, like, seconds in the middle of a heated battle to adapt to your new character, and it could really cause people trouble. And then...
Can I ask a question real quick?
Yeah.
So playing competitive Smash for some of our listeners, that's, like, Final Destination. Is that what they call the stage?
Yes, yep. Final Destination.
Or Battleground. Battlefield.
Yeah, they'll do Battlefield sometime, and a few other basic stages, like they did the Animal Crossing stage and Yoshi's Island.
And so there's no items for that.
Right.
So in your experience, did you see anyone that was extremely good with Pokemon Trainer, or no?
Personally, no. I had met people who were like, I'd really like to play with just Squirtle or just Ivysaur or just Charizard, but the thing with Pokemon Trainer is after you fight with one of the Pokemon for a while, they will get tired. Like, you can visibly see, like, Charizard will lean over and Ivysaur's flower droops, and you have to switch out.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Or they take more damage and do less damage, and it's really, like, it penalizes you for playing with one character, and I think a lot of people dislike that. I personally really liked playing with all three of them, but I did not like playing with all three of them at the same time.
Okay, a follow-up question. Just because this is a Pokemon podcast, I'm trying to get in as much Pokemon in a non-focused Pokemon game as we can. Did you see people that were good with, I believe the other Pokemon at the time were Pikachu, Jigglypuff, and Mewtwo?
Lucario.
Mewtwo was the game before.
Yeah, I saw a few people who were good with Lucario, not so much the other two, though.
Really? There wasn't any... I'm out of the Pokemon scene, I'm out of the Pokemon scene. I'm out of the Smash Brothers scene, so forgive me. But I always heard people saying Pikachu was overpowered. Is this not true?
What people would do is they would spam Thunder. So if you were in the middle of a four-player match, you would just spam down B all the time and hit people. But if you were playing competitively and you knew what you were doing, it was really easy to dodge it or absorb the attack and send it back. So it was a little overpowered if you're having like a for fun game with like four of your friends, because you could just jump in there and blast everyone with thunder.
So Pikachu's not good competitively, according to our resident Smash expert, Kenny. I don't know.
I didn't know if you wanted me to keep going on about that. It just, also Pikachu has a lot of spam attacks. Well, I mean, it has one, but it's one that people use a lot. And they tend to overlook the fact that Pikachu actually has some other good attacks that are not just B attacks. And so it's kind of the sense of, like, it's not good because you make it not good, as opposed to it being, like, an inherently bad character.
I'd say it actually... I don't know. I'd say it has more potential than does Lucario.
Let's talk about Lucario.
They supposedly made Lucario a lot better.
Why was Lucario bad, Travis? Besides just being a bad Pokemon in general.
Yeah. Lucario is the worst. It's not... I mean, I'd say it's around the same goodness, quality of a character as Pikachu, but its gimmick is a little strange. It does more damage the more damage it's taken. It's supposed to play into this whole idea of Lucario being the master of the auras, or whatever.
Mm-hmm. That's one of the movies, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's not a good film.
It's no Duh Cry.
It's Duh Cry. And so it just becomes really strange and really difficult to play whether you should avoid damage because you don't want to die or take damage because you want to kill someone. It becomes very odd and difficult to manage, and it's sort of like opposite of how the game works for any other character.
Is there a visual representation of that, or how do you know?
There's two ways. First is just the percent damage that everyone can see that is on for every character, but also the aura around the Cario grows as the power of the aura grows.
And Lucario has an aura sphere attack, which is a charge attack. Like, for those of you who don't know, you just press B and he starts to charge it up.
Is it like Samus?
Yeah, it's exactly like Samus. And aura sphere gets noticeably bigger the more damage you've taken. And also moves like Force Palm, where he just basically like shoots an aura out of his hands. They have a lot longer range. And they were showing a little bit of footage of Lucario in the new Smash, and it looks like they powered him up a considerable amount because they were aware that, like, it was a severely diminishing return on giving damage versus taking it.
Okay. Now, so, they also showed that he Mega Evolves.
Mm-hmm.
Did they confirm that was just an ability, or is that, like, his final smash? That's a thing, right? Final smashes?
I would assume it was his final smash. Like, it doesn't make sense for it to be anything else.
Travis, you agree with that?
I agree. I mean, if it was just a thing that made him a move that just made him all around better, then what's the point of
it? Yeah, that would be game breaking.
Got it. So, no Mewtwo. Mewtwo's last appearance was Melee, which was the second game.
Right. Only appearance.
We've seen Jigglypuff all three games, but it doesn't seem like Jigglypuff has been confirmed yet for this one.
That's correct.
It will be, though. They still have other characters like Ness that hasn't been confirmed. Yeah. I don't think Captain Falcon has been.
They've never dropped a character from the original.
Yeah.
Okay. So you said Captain Falcon, you said Ness, Jigglypuff. Are those the only three missing from the original?
Have they even talked about Fox?
Yeah, Fox is confirmed.
Okay.
If you go on the page, I remember looking it up days ago.
So we're confident Jigglypuff is coming. Is Jigglypuff any good?
It's really gimmicky.
It was very, very, very good in Melee specifically. Uh-huh. Hasn't been good in any of the other entries.
Okay, so do you think, just based off our Lucario chat, do you think they're going to fix the problems? I don't even know. Doesn't Jigglypuff put people to sleep? Is that that's its thing, right?
I mean, it does that, but the main thing it does is it has its down and B, which has done the same general thing in all the games, but it's been tweaked for each one. And how it works if you're directly, not on top, but like occupying the same space as your opponent, like you're right in the same spot, and you use down and B, sends them flying much farther than a normal attack, but it also puts you to sleep and you have to wake up, which was okay in just Smash Brothers, but was way too good in Melee, and that's pretty much all people would do is Jigglypuff back then, and then they nerfed it considerably in Brawl, making Jigglypuff really not worth using at all, to be honest.
All right, so most important question here.
Mm-hmm.
What move is that?
Rest.
That's rest.
It's rest, yeah. It does not do anything that it's supposed to do.
Okay, that was a little clarification there.
I promise it's rest.
All right, so Jigglypuff coming back. I guess we can talk about the second Pokemon that was revealed. I will pass it over to Travis for that.
Oh, yeah. This is really cool. Greninja was confirmed as a character in the upcoming Smash Bros. Titles, which is very, very cool. Of all of the Pokemon in Gen 6, it's definitely the most... I didn't think of it originally until it was announced, but retrospectively, it makes the most sense out of any Gen 6 Pokemon, to be honest.
It does.
And I think that sort of fighting style that was displayed in the trailer, if we can just go off the trailer, it's depicted as sort of like a sneaky ninja-like fighter. And
I would assume very fast.
Yeah.
That's what it looks like. And other than Sheik, I guess Sheik is probably the closest we've had to that sort of style. But other than that, there isn't really that much representation of that sort of fighting style in Smash Bros. So that would be interesting to see.
It almost seems like he has a few similarities to Zero Suit Samus, though, too. And that's just speculation. But yeah, at least a few of the movement styles.
I would imagine there are hardcore enough Pokemon fans to, you know, spend a whole night just playing only with Pokemon in Pokemon stages, because I'd imagine there'd be more than one Pokemon stage with only Pokemon items. Kenny, you said you've done that before?
I've done it before.
Yeah.
Guilty.
Speaking of the Pokeballs and Pokemon items, they showed new stuff. Kenny, do you want to let them know what we saw in that trailer?
We're talking about the Master Ball?
Yeah.
Master Ball only releases a legendary Pokemon, so I'm assuming it's going to be a rare drop. And that looks pretty cool, although it kind of looks like if you find a Master Ball, you're going to get a few KOs. But for just like for fun matches, yeah, it would totally be a cool item. Because I can see everybody like freaking out as a Master Ball appears on like the other side of a stage when everyone's over on one side.
And that's sort of what items are meant to do anyway. They're not entirely, I don't think they were ever really designed to make things more competitive. I think the when the game has emphasized itself as a competitive game, it's always downplayed items and things, and items were seen more as like a part for like a party environment anyway, as a way to sort of inject some randomness into it that keeps people on their toes. And so some really powerful item like a Master Ball showing up would sort of be an extension of that.
And items are also really fun in like the alternate single player mode, like the, I can't remember what it's called, but that
the Subspace Emissary?
In Brawl. But like in the new one, that game or that mode to be for the DS that I can't.
Oh, where they're all racing.
Yeah. I think items are really, really great for things like that, and definitely Subspace Emissary. That game that would have like been ridiculous without items.
I remember from playing and just my own personal memories of going always for the Pokeball in the game because it was usually something that could knock out multiple people, or it was like a Goldeen or a Wobbuffet and nothing happened per se. I would imagine the Master Ball is kind of like always definitely something solid.
Yeah, that's what they made it seem like.
But they did so, and they showed mostly legendaries. Arceus was one that came out of the Master Ball.
That was pretty cool.
That was very cool. Just for the Pokeball, it looked like Fennekin came out, Skidoo, if I'm not mistaken, or was that Go-Goat?
I do not remember a lot of the Pokemon that they just showed. They had Meowth.
Yeah. So it looks like they've added Gen 6 to that mix, which is also good, but I would also imagine that the Pokeball will still have flops like it has had in the past because there's more emphasis on this Master Ball now.
Oh, definitely.
I think it's really interesting that there wasn't a Pokemon game, there wasn't a Smash Bros. Game that emphasized Gen 4 Pokemon. Brawl.
That was Brawl. Brawl had.
Did Brawl like, have. Oh, yeah, it had like Weavile and things, yeah.
Yeah, and it had.
Palkia, I thought. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, there is a stage revolving around them.
Gosh, which generation is it that. I don't know.
3 and 5 got skipped over.
Yeah, that's what it is. Yeah, 5.
Oh, yep. Yeah, because there was that long rumored of a Smash Brothers for 3 for a handheld coming out.
Mm-hmm.
And then we get this, which is, I think, whatever everyone was okay waiting with. In retrospect.
Definitely.
Other than that, I think that was really all the news we have. If you guys have anything else you want to comment about Smash not Pokemon related, I guess now's the time if there is something specifically. I know Kenny and I got in a little argument about Little Mac because I think he's going to be overpowered.
Why?
Because he like builds up his meter and his only weakness is being in the air. And so with like a Final Destination stage where there's nowhere to jump. Anyways,
we spend a lot of time in the air anyway.
Well, that's like, what Kenny said.
Regardless.
Yeah.
Because of how the game works, like you don't die from taking damage. Obviously you die from being knocked off the stage and dealing damage makes you fly farther. So, you need good aerial moves in order to get back onto the stage. If you don't really have much aerial presence, then when your opponent is able to knock you around, then you're not in a good place.
Also, there are a lot of aerial characters. Like, I play Wario a lot, and he is, at least in my opinion, I think he's really good in the air. So with a lot of people, there's a lot of jumping involved, and if you just constantly stay on the ground, you're probably going to be a huge target for taking aerial attacks.
Even if it was one-on-one?
Oh, yeah. Yep. Definitely. Yeah, things get pretty heated. There are a lot of things that if you don't play competitively, you don't realize are there, or it seems weird. I'm so sorry about that part.
I think somebody's at your house, Kenny.
No, their stupid clock. I'm so sorry.
Oh, clock. I thought it was your doorbell.
No. Anyway, I just think that him not being able to fight in the air at all
is a big disadvantage.
Just like a character who can fight on the ground at all would have a pretty big disadvantage.
Got it. Kenny, what is the character you're most excited for?
New character-wise, definitely Greninja.
Okay.
But I know I shouldn't get worried because he was really his own character, but they have not confirmed Wario yet, and that was who I used. So I still have my fingers crossed that they're going to release him soon because I'm not going to be happy if my main character is not in the next game.
Travis, what character are you most excited for, new one and old one?
I pretty much like all the new introduced characters. Greninja looks sweet. Little Mac looks awesome. Rosalina looks fun. Villager from Animal Crossing. And then Mega Man, Wii Fit Trainer look pretty funny too. But probably Villager in terms of the new ones. And I'm glad that Diddy Kong is coming back.
Good calls.
Yeah, I always forget that the villager is in it until I see him, and then I get super excited again.
I don't know, Mega Man might be tied with Greninja.
Mega Man, man. Mega Man gets so much love. I missed out on that. Too hard for me. I didn't have the patience.
It's ridiculous. You have to practice a lot.
Can't practice. Well, our listeners can practice memorizing something as we take a quick break.
Good one.
Yeah, thank you. Our show only gets better the more episodes that come out. You remember that. And we'll be right back.
It's like
back.
Rollout.
Yeah. We're like Whitney and a milk tank. And we'll be right back after the break. And we are back from our break, recording this on Monday, like we always have been doing. We've been very consistent with recording on Mondays, and then publishing this on Tuesday nights for you guys. And if for some reason you missed the first half of the show, Kenny and Travis are here.
We are.
Are you taking a note from radio hosts who gotta like refresh the guest every
right?
Every 15 minutes.
Because there could have been.
We're sitting here with Travis Gunny. We're going to be talking about, we're going to be taking calls. If you're caller number 7, you're going to get a free Taco Bell discount. discount coupon is what I should have said.
A permanent discount from Taco Bell.
Only during the fourth meal, guys. Only during it.
That's fine. I'd be okay with that.
Taco Bell breakfast.
To be fair, Taco Bell breakfast is amazing.
No, I have not had it yet.
AM Crunchwrap.
It's good. I had Taco Bell breakfast, the AM Crunchwrap to be exact, the morning of Midwest Gaming Classic, which is what we're talking about this segment.
Because I had the waffle taco, which is not as good as the AM Crunchwrap.
It's not as good.
But it's still okay.
You're 100% right. That's why Travis is here today, to verify that it's not as good, but still good. Just like the Midwest Gaming Classic. I was going to say it wasn't as good as last year.
Still good.
I had a bad transition. But to be fair, the Midwest Gaming Classic, I feel, was the best this year than it's ever been.
Yeah, it was a very good show. I would agree.
For our listeners who didn't go to the Midwest Gaming Classic, or maybe you're a new listener and you don't know what the Midwest Gaming Classic is about, it is one of the biggest gaming conventions in the Midwest. To be exact, it is in Brookfield, Wisconsin. And it usually happens in March, but this year it happened in April. So I think they had 7,000 people last year, and I know this year was bigger, so I'll get probably rough numbers in a week or so afterwards. But they have a whole huge room dedicated to pinball machines. I think there was over like 500 or 1,000 this year.
A lot.
They also had a huge vendor hall, which they had outside in a tent, because the hotel was too small because the show got so big. They also have what is called the community hall, where local community places like It's Super Effective and some other stuff are downstairs, and that's where we were. And there's some other stuff going on, like Halo tournaments and Towerfall tournaments that Kenny won, and and other tournaments. I'm sure there was a Smash Brothers tournament, because there was one last year.
I couldn't find it. I was so mad.
I feel like the whole tournament schedule got messed up when they like told everyone that tournaments were free this year.
Free? Yeah, because I asked a lot of people, and people are just like, I don't know, so I finally gave up after a while.
Which is fair, but it was both Saturday and Sunday. Very, very fun days. I feel like I'm talking a lot, so I will give it over to Travis before I talk specifically about the Pokemon podcast room.
I thought putting the vendors in the tent outside that they added made the convention a lot more enjoyable. Last year, it was very difficult to even get around. It was still a very, very fun weekend last year, but putting the vendors in that tent outside, which was nicer than I thought it would be when I heard tent, I didn't really wasn't really ecstatic, but it was nice, and it wasn't the day that it rained. It was only a partial flood. I thought it made the rest of the convention a lot nicer. We could have that big pinball room instead of having that be the vendor hall and pinball just like stuffed everywhere in every single hall.
Mm-hmm.
And it also, I don't remember there being as many just hotel rooms being used as part of the convention as before. There were a lot of smaller groups using those, which was interesting, which maybe they did last year, but I don't think to the extent of this year. So it seemed like there was a lot more stuff at the convention.
And yeah, there were a few
people.
Yeah, there were a few rooms used last year, but not nearly. Yeah. It's pretty much, mm-hmm. for our listeners, every hotel has like rooms you can obviously rent and sleep in. But for the first floor, they dedicated all those hotel rooms to the actual convention. So they just like removed the beds and the dressers from the rooms, just so like one room had the Oculus Rift in it, and other rooms had like a Wreck-It Ralph machine, but that was also in the same room as the Oculus Rift. That was really the only room you needed to go to.
I did a lot of wandering around, hung out with different people, hung out with you guys. The Pokemon podcast room was definitely like the coolest it's ever been, because the Nintendo stuff, like, that was amazing. I participated in a Towerfall tournament. I'd never played it before, and I ended up winning it, which was really cool.
Did you hear of it before?
No, I didn't even know what it was. I played it for 15 minutes single player, and then entered the tournament, which was nothing like single player.
Yeah, no, it was very different.
And I think the only reason why I won is because I'm pretty okay at platformers, and it was a lot of just basic platforming stuff. So
I feel like your Smash Brothers skills probably came in.
It could have been. Yeah, it got pretty heated, even though I had never played it before. I was pretty serious. But that was cool. And I won a Mr. Driller tournament, but I only think that was because there weren't any like hardcore Mr. Driller people, because I am really not that great at that game.
For our listeners who may be a little out of the loop, I'm actually in the loop for something. Towerfall originally came out on Ouya, that platform that no one bought. Yeah, it was an Ouya exclusive, and it got a lot of praise from Polygon. It actually was talked about a lot on their podcast, because two of the four members that do the, I think their podcast is called The Friends List, really, really loved Towerfall, which is kind of like a 8-bit Smash Brothers, except you only have one life.
But you also have, everyone's an archer.
Right, and when you shoot your arrows, you have to run and pick them back up.
The only similarity it has to Smash Bros. Is that they're both like 4-player. I mean, even calling it a brawler is a little strange, but it's like an arcade brawler, I guess would be the best way to explain it.
Yeah, and Polygon gave it the, out of their top 10 games of 2013, it came in number 3 for them, and they might have been one of the only video game review sites that rated Towerfall so highly, especially for a game that was only on Ouya. And then just about a month ago, Towerfall came, and I believe Towerfall was also on Steam for a bit. I'm not sure when the exact Steam date was, but as of a month ago, Towerfall was available on PS4 exclusively free for PlayStation Plus members, if I'm not mistaken, or it was at a discount, but either way,
on the PC as well.
Yep. So that is Towerfall.
All they need is online multiplayer, and they'll be set.
The multiplayer creator will never add that.
Did they come out and say that?
Yes, they said that originally when it was on Ouya, too.
Really?
Yep, he says he wants everyone to be sitting on the same couch when they play it, and he will never add online multiplayer.
Huh.
And there's actually a really big article about how like that online multiplayer still has lag, and because the arrows have a trajectory that like fall, it really affects online, because it's not like a bullet that goes straight. It like falls when you shoot it.
Yeah. And there's a little bit of homing.
So yeah, it will never be online. I'm sorry.
It's really disappointing.
Not that it's my fault and I shouldn't be apologizing, but
Steve spearheaded the project to make sure it never came online.
That's right. I was like, I have no friends. So to ensure that no one else can have fun with this game, no online. And then they made Towerfall. what were we talking about? Anything else did you do? You won Towerfall, you won Diggersby tournament. What else?
Went
Diggersby?
Diggersby tournament. Mr. Diggersby. I went to the vendor hall at the second day on Sunday. They had a bunch of like Pokemon stuff marked down for really cheap. So I got like $30 worth of stuff for like $10, and that was me pretty much just playing games though. Lots of street passing, and then we went to Outback and we talked about Digimon and Futurama the entire time.
We did.
Digimon for a long time.
Yeah, it was pretty fun though.
It was good. It was good. That was a good dinner, too. Well, the service was kind of mediocre.
You thought so? I don't remember that.
She was super nice, but it took forever for us to get our food.
And then my food wasn't, like, cooked.
Yeah, and...
I forgot about that.
Kenny got, like, ice-cold macaroni.
Yeah.
You're as cold as ice. our room. Macaroni room. Our room. The Pokemon podcast room. And with special guests, Nintendo, as Kenny revealed.
What did I run that? I'm sorry.
No, I told everyone Nintendo was coming like two podcasts ago.
Okay, that's what I thought.
So a little quick recap in case any of our listeners are confused. A local Nintendo rep, because Nintendo puts reps in pretty much every big city to manage local events and or the displays that you see at Target or Best Buy or GameStop. The local Nintendo rep, who I've met before in the past just by going to events in the area, contacted me and said that he has been to the show and 2 years ago, the second time we did MGC, and we had a podcast about it, we talked about a Nintendo rep coming in, taking a bunch of pictures, and I was like, oh no, this is the end of us, because this Nintendo rep's going to report back and say that we've been doing this, and then Nintendo's going to shut us down. That same guy actually loved everything we did and wanted to join us last year. Nintendo said no, and he asked his bosses or whoever the Nintendo lords are if he could attend with us this year, and they said yes. And so we gave about 25% of the room to Nintendo, because that's what they were worth to us. No, I'm just kidding. They had a Wii U set up, and they had a whole table with, I think, five or six 3DSs, and then they had a huge giveaway table. And we had then our big table with four TVs running Pokemon Snap, Pokemon Stadium 2, Pokemon Gold running on a Super Nintendo Game Boy player.
Super Game Boy.
And then the best Game Boy. And then we had a Wii running Pokemon...
Poke Park.
I was like, what is that? There's a Pikachu that runs around.
Every single person that saw that, that didn't already know what Poke Park was like, oh, that's Hey You Pikachu 2, not... I wonder if that's Hey You Pikachu 2.
Oh,
that
no.
is Hey You Pikachu 2. And I was like surprised at how angry I was at people's arrogance and lack of self-restraint to just make bold claims that were not true.
Yeah, I ran into a couple people like that too. There was somebody who was talking about Smash Brothers like that in a different room. And
they called Smash Brothers Hey You Pikachu 2?
No, but they were talking about things like they made the game, like they knew what was going on, and like, so I know what you're talking about, Travis. It just gets really annoying when people
Say You Pikachu 2. No, it is not. It is the children's game Poke Park.
Pikachu. You know what? It is also for adults. I play it. Beat it.
Come on, it's also a children's game. But I feel like Poke Park is more of a children's game.
After seeing Poke Park, which is a game we've never talked about on the show, it didn't seem like a bad game at all. Being in the room for 2 days and watching a lot of it, it seems like...
A lot of APOM chasing?
Yeah.
I did some of that. That was fun.
There was like the Pokemon race where you had to smash the button to have Pikachu run to the finish line. I feel like if I had children... I would give them this game, and they would probably love it.
You can also unlock other Pokemon to use in the games, which is a really good incentive to like beat your own times and stuff. So like they're actually like, you know, collectibles and stuff, so you don't just feel like you're doing it for no reason. Which I thought was cool.
And we commented on this on our mini show last week, but it doesn't, like, graphically, being on both a Wii and a CRT looks pretty good.
Yeah.
There were so many CRTs in our room. The average temperature in our room because of those CRTs was like approaching that of the surface of the sun.
It was pretty bad. Yeah, all you had to do was walk into the room and you'd just be like, what is going on?
Yeah, it was unfortunate that the room we were in and the room next door must have shared the same ventilation because our two rooms were the only rooms that were as hot as Venus, and it was
Venus hot.
I believe Venus is hot. I believe Venus is 900 degrees Fahrenheit, and I only know
just
that
look that up
because I've been listening to a lot of Star Talk radio.
Okay,
that's the only reason I know that. Also, Venus spins the other way than the Earth does.
Cool.
clockwise, counterclockwise? Doesn't matter. Hot, 900 degrees. That's what we were saying, how hot our room was.
Yeah.
We also had Pokemon pillows for sale. Not sure why that has to do with CRTs. That could have made the room hotter. But the only reason I'm bringing that up is because they're going to be on the website sometime this week. We decided to do the room a bit darker this year. We had, what are those lights called? The white...
The bright. Hue?
We had the hue set up. The fluorescent lights, that's what I was saying. Mm. So our room didn't feel like a Walmart, is really what I'm trying to say. Because we didn't have bright fluorescent lights. I have something called a hue, which are like really, they're like light bulbs with Wi-Fi chip in them, and they can change colors. And I brought all my hues from home and installed them into the hotel ceiling. And so it was like we were in a disco the entire time.
Hue's pretty cool.
Pretty neat.
It was pretty neat. We also had the pinball machine back. Last year, we built a custom Pokemon pinball machine that emulated Pokemon Pinball Ruby Sapphire, and then it actually had flipper buttons on the side and works with the game. I think Travis got the high score of number 2.
No, I'm second place. I have the second place score on, I can't remember if it's the Ruby board or the Sapphire board, but the top score is still from that year, like 2 years ago, where some guy came in and just like showed up everyone. So the difference between my score and that person's score is his score is 2 times that of mine. But Aaron has, I think Aaron has the high score on the blue on the Sapphire, and I have the second place on Ruby, but I might be flipping those around.
I think you had Ruby because you did really well in the Groudon fight.
You're right. Yep. It is Ruby.
Groudon fight. Kenny, I didn't see you play any pinball. Are you not a pinball?
No, I did not play pinball this year, and I didn't even realize that until I left. And I was like, whoa. I was not living up to my love of pinball.
You're not living up.
No.
Speaking, are you a fan of the Pokemon pinball?
I love Pokemon pinball. Oh yeah, I used to play that all the time.
Pokemon pinball. I feel like we're missing something in our room. Had a lot of CRTs. Nintendo reps were great. We gave out a bunch of Mario cat ears, some Paper Mario sticker booklets, some Mario wristbands, and they dropped off some Pokemon X and Y stuff. There was like some postcards. They went crazy fast, but they were just like really, there was one of the Kalos region artwork, and then there was one of the two main characters in the game. I can't remember their names. Serena and
Kalem.
And then all like Fennekin and Go-Goat and Froakie and stuff. Those were really cool. Other than that, it was a very fun weekend, very exhausting. We barely got any sleep, and I feel like it's only going to be bigger and better next year, since it's not only was there more traffic, but there was that the tent in the back worked out very well.
Yeah.
And when Travis mentioned that there was some problems with water, it was because it rained very hard that Saturday morning, and like the tent, I don't know, like the tent was huge, and I don't know what to compare it to size wise. Like, it took up the whole back parking lot of the Sheridan Hotel, and it was very tall.
If you imagine those like fireworks hotels that prop up, but like 4 of those.
Oh, yeah. Or like, do you guys, this is a thing in Wisconsin, I don't know if it's a thing where you guys are from, but like those Halloween expresses that pop up?
Yeah.
No. Did I say firework hotels?
Yeah, you did.
I think I said firework hotel. I meant firework tents. But okay. Firework hotel is definitely a place I don't want to stay.
I was pretty curious about what that was.
I wasn't sure if that was an exclusive Michigan thing.
You know, firework hotels where, you know, at 2 in the morning they shoot off some fireworks. It's a good time.
Inside of the hotel.
Yeah. Of course. It burns down every time. That's why they have to prop up all the
makes sense. But because it rained, they weren't, I don't think they were prepared for that. At least it didn't seem like they were prepared. So imagine the parking lot being a very old parking lot and not being a very flat parking lot. And so it kind of had like mm-hmm. potholes and shallow parts. And so water started seeping into the vendor hall, and there were, they had like, I would say every like 100 feet, there was like a heater, a generator that was pumping in hot air. But because it was on the ground pumping in air under the tent, it was also taking the water from outside and pumping it into the tent as well. So when you were trying to buy like Earthbound on Super Nintendo, because there was a million of those everywhere for very expensive, you'd be standing in like 6 inches of water. And it was kind of cool. And then at one point, the generator went out and all the lights in the tent went out. And then everyone at the same time went, yay!
I don't remember that part.
It was before you got to the show.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, because it was right at like 11 a.m. And I think you came around 12?
Yeah, I was busy having my own fun.
Your own fun.
Like the car crash.
I was going to say, like a car accident?
Yeah. No, that was sarcasm.
For our listeners, Kenny's okay. It was just minor fender bender.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, everything's totally fine.
All good. And we're totally fine. And what we're going to do is we're going to take a break, and we're going to come back to talk about our totally fine Pokemon of the week.
Totally fine.
And we are back from our break to wrap up our show. Before I forget, before we talk about our Pokemon of the week, wanted to give you guys an update on Twitch Plays Pokemon. They are on Fire Red. And the cool thing about Fire Red is what do they call that? It's randomized?
It's a randomizer, yeah.
So they started off the game with a Machop instead of your normal
Pokemon. Oh, those are cool.
And then the gym leaders are also randomized. So I believe Brock was a Bug-type gym leader. And I think Misty was a Rock-type. I'm not sure. Because I just check it every morning. I don't watch it all day like I used to with Twitch Plays Pokemon. But I check the feeds. And they... From what I've last seen, they just completed Sabrina, so they have two or three more badges to go. I'm not sure which order of gym leaders they went in. But the funniest thing that happened, and why I wanted to talk about it, is because it's randomized, they were able to trade a Pokemon. I believe it was the guy who originally had the Farfetch.
That was Spearow?
What?
Didn't he want like a Spearow?
Yeah, he wanted like a Spearow or something. The person where they are located in the game doesn't matter. He just found somebody who wanted to trade one of those NPCs. They wanted a male Nidoran, which Twitch Played Pokemon caught a couple of. And he was in exchange trading a Mew.
Oh, no way.
Named Mark.
Wait, why is it Mark?
I'm not sure. Mark.
All of the NPCs nickname their Pokemon.
But isn't that the Farfetch guy who names it Dux?
Well, if it was a Nidoran, it was a different guy.
Or they requested somebody else. But they now have a Mew on their team named Mark, and apparently it's rocking.
Oh, that's so funny.
Yeah, they also, I know at one point they had a Sandslash with Flamethrower. Really? And they have... what's that bug Pokemon that evolves from Surskit?
Masquerain?
Yes, they have one of those that knows Hyper Beam.
Nice.
So, it's one of the more funnier Twitch Plays Pokemon just because of the randomization, but still going strong. For those that haven't been watching, you are up to date. You haven't been updated. This moves into our Pokemon of the Week, which this week is Dewgong, the seal, the sea lion Pokemon from Gen 1. It evolves from seal. And I don't know, should I read something about it?
Totally.
Let's see. I will just read the other because it's kind of interesting. In Mewtwo Strikes Back, a Dewgong owned by Nisha was one of the Pokemon that was captured and cloned by Mewtwo. The Dewgong clone reappeared in Mewtwo Returns. A Dewgong has also been used by Price in As Cold as Price and Nice Price Baby. He also owns several of them at his gym. There you go. There's some Dewgong information for you. I also believe that Dewgong was in one of the episodes with Misty and her sisters.
Well, I know there's a Dewgong on top of the Cerulean Gym, a big cutout of a Dewgong.
Yeah.
Dewgong is a Pokemon for which I have a lot of respect. And the reason is because Dewgong looks so happy, so content. Dewgong is just beaming. But you want to know the one game where Dewgong does not have an obvious smile or its mouth open in a smile? It's Gen 3. Because Gen 3 is the worst. That's why I have a lot of respect for Dewgong.
It has a smile. I'm looking at its sprite right now. It's got a grin.
It looks maybe content. It doesn't look happy.
Not nearly as happy as Diamond
and
Pearl.
The second least happy? Does that make sense? The second saddest would be Red and Blue, because Red and Blue are the second worst games.
It looks less happy in Heart Gold, Soul Silver than it does in Ruby and Sapphire.
Heart Gold and Soul Silver. You're right. But Dewgong was just confused because those games are the best.
Well, no, it's clearly happiest in Gen 5, where it should be happy.
It looks pretty happy in just green version. Does the back of Dewgong in Generation 1 look exactly the same as Charmeleon's back?
It looks really similar, yeah.
Charmeleon, scrolling down. It's really similar. It's not the exact same, though.
Okay, it's just a couple pixels off.
It's
the horn, right?
It's the with the horn and also like the angle of the head.
Oh, okay.
Gen 1 back sprites were like the most atrocious things ever.
those sprites formed my like and dislike of Pokemon.
Yeah.
The sprite's so ugly. I don't like Venusaur anymore.
Yeah. Pidgey, when I was little, it won't make as much sense if I can't show you the picture, but the back sprite, I didn't realize it was Pidgey's head. And I thought it was an old man in a robe holding a staff.
Wait, let me look.
Like, the very right outline connected.
Oh, wow!
Yeah, do you see it?
Yeah, I do.
Yeah. It looks like an old man holding a staff in a robe.
So did you think your, in-game character was just an old man?
No, I just thought Pidgey, had some magic power or something. I didn't know anything about Pokemon. I also, for a long time, didn't realize that there was a PC. And I was just like, well, I gotta be careful with what I catch. I thought I would just go to the PC and it was like, see ya.
I feel like I had mistakes, but I can't think of any. Oh, no, I can't think of one. In Silver and Gold, when you, first meet Silver, or I guess Gold, if you're playing Silver. When you first meet your rival, it says question mark.
Silver regardless.
Yeah, oh, is it?
Yeah.
Yep, the main character is Gold.
Oh, okay. In either game.
The main character is Ethan.
You're right. Yeah, Ethan. Sorry.
Got it. Well, when you meet your rival for the first time, it says question mark. And then when you get back to Oak's lab, it was like, oh, what is his name? And so I put question mark. That was his name. So when my first playthrough of Silver, my rival was always just question mark.
I had the blessing of an older brother who knew how video games worked, so I was able to sort of skirt those the indiscretions of youth. Now, that's sort of one of the reasons why I tend to dislike when the game gets more complicated, because I think, like, wow, if I didn't have my older brother, how was I supposed to understand how this game worked as a child? And with it being a kid's game, that's why I don't like the idea of adding types and making things more complicated than they already are and that sort of thing. Like, I'm fine with, like, intricate things like IVs and stuff, because you don't need to know that to play the game. But those sorts of things of, like, the typing system, which you do need to know to play the game, is like, so cumbersome at this point. It's those sorts of things that are my least favorite parts of my favorite game.
That actually made sense.
Yeah.
You, like, used the double negative, and I had to, like, do the math of the words in my head.
The math of the
words. Math words coming to theaters near...
Near what?
You.
Unlike... This is a bit frustrating. Unlike most Gen 1 Pokemon, Dewgong has, like, zero trivia. The only trivia it has is, in Pokemon Red and Blue Beta, Dewgong was originally known as Manatee.
Manatters. Trained Manatters.
Which doesn't really make much... I don't know. Maybe in Japanese it made more sense for his name.
Yeah.
Dewgong is a portmanteau of dew and dugong, a relative of the manatee.
Okay,
dew, fair enough. They refer to the natural phenomenon of water vapor condensing in the presence of a cold surface. Dew formation at suddenly low temperatures turns to the frost with possible reference to dugong. Dugong.
Travis, if you were to run a dugong, what moves would you give it?
Gosh, I have no idea as of the base stats of dugong, so let me look at that.
They're pretty even.
They are just phenomenal.
That's not the word I would use.
No, they're pretty great. It's like up there with like Mega Mewtwo Y. Like stat wise.
I think you could make it work as like a
mix sweeper.
No, with having to put investment in both attack and special attack, if you wanted to do that, neither of those stats would get high enough to where either of them would really be useful. I think what you do is you make it a little more like a tank, so put HP investment and maybe special attack investment, because it has that natural bulk. With 90, 80, 95 defenses aren't awful. They're not good enough to be a wall on its own, but they're good for taking hits. So I guess you could do like Ice Beam, Surf. I don't think it doesn't look like it gets Scald.
If you were to run a Hail team, and that I don't know if people run a Hail team, would you give it Blizzard instead, or would you still stick with the Ice Beam?
It's up in the air. If you think that, if you have multiple ways of setting up Hail, then I think you'd be fine with Blizzard. But if you're just focusing on like a Bombasnow or something, then I would be a little more cautious of putting Blizzard on, because you don't want to be caught in a place where it's the only Pokemon you have left, and yeah, just have to do that. You don't want to have to be like praying every hit. So if you think you're going to be able to set up Hail in multiple ways, like have a Pokemon that uses Hail as well as like an Abomasnow or something, then I think you can pull it off.
Interesting enough, it also learns Belch. So, I mean, it already got a niche place anyway. So if you were to give it some sort of like either stat increasing berry or maybe it has a little bit of bulk, you could switch it into something that you know it would be able to hit. Give it a berry that weakens the super effective damage, and then use Belch. It's got 120 base power.
That would be really cool.
It has two decent abilities. Thick Fat and Ice Body?
Thick Fat is quite good. Ice Body's okay. Hydration is really good. So you could run that on a rain team. I think that would probably be the best way to go. If you're doing a weather thing, otherwise Thick Fat is the way to go.
What about something, I mean, niche Pokemon aside, is a move like entertainment, which...
Entrainment?
Oh, sorry, yeah, entrainment. Entrainment, is that worth any Pokemon's move spot?
In doubles, it's a little more interesting. In singles, not really. Because in singles, all you have to... Well, I mean, in doubles, the same is true, but... all you have to do is switch out to have the effect be removed. So, like, if I give, I don't know what you would do, like, if you're up against, like, a Machamp or something, you can give it entrainment so it doesn't have,
no guard.
No guard anymore. It just needs to switch out and come back in. But in doubles, it can be quite useful in, you could have Dewgong give, like, hydration to Regigigas or something.
Oh, okay.
So that it loses Slow Start.
I didn't think you could get rid of Slow Start. I thought it was one of those.
Oh, really?
Yeah, there are a few of them. Like, you can't get rid of
Slow Start. Is
Dance
not,
Change.
It's not on the list. It says it won't work with Trant, Zen Mode, Multi-Type, Illusion, Flower Gift, Trace, Imposter, or Stance Change.
Yeah, I was going to say, no, it definitely doesn't work on Stance Change.
So it looks like it's okay with Slow Start then? Yeah.
Huh. Yeah. If skills, I'm on the Slow Start page now. If Skill Swap, Gastro Acid, or Worry Seed is used against this Pokemon, its stats will immediately return to full power. However, the user of Skill Swap will have its attack and speed stats halved.
Yeah. Interesting.
Wait, why doesn't it mention Entrainment? Is Entrainment the opposite?
Entrainment, they get your ability.
Yeah,
and Roleplay, you get their ability.
Okay, right. So why doesn't it list entrainment for Unsolicited or whatever?
So if you had hydration and you gave it to Regigigas, that would work?
Yeah, looks like it.
Dewgong's probably not fast enough to survive anything. Maybe.
It might be bulky enough too. If you gave it a full defensive investment and use it in doubles, it would be really gimmicky and there's a lot better users of it. But if you're just a Dewgong fanatic, you could pull it off.
Kenny, do you have any attachment to Dewgong?
I mean, it's okay. I've just always been okay with it. I did realize something interesting about it though, looking at it. It's especially obvious if you look at Dewgong's picture in the anime. If you look at its coloring, the shiny Dewgong appears to be white, while regular has a bluish tint. So, according to the old anime, all of the Dewgong were shiny. Because if you look at that anime Dewgong, there is no blue there, it is pure white.
Oh, okay, I see what you're saying. It does look better more white.
I think it does too. I honestly would not be able to tell the difference, though, if there wasn't a little shiny thing.
Yeah, well, I mean, when you're looking at them side by side, it's obvious, but probably in-game, you wouldn't really...
Yeah, if I were to just run into one that was shiny and it didn't play the animation or I missed it or something, there's a pretty good chance that I wouldn't realize it. Which is always disappointing, because I feel like they should have made shinies really...
I feel like there should be, like, a big, like, warning, this is rare.
You have to triple confirm your moves every time you use it.
Are you sure? No, but seriously, like, are you certain?
You realize you won't see another one of these until you encounter 4,000 more. Dewgong. Pokemon of the Cerulean City Gym. But not used by any Cerulean City Gym leader.
I thought of a thing that I want to see happen.
With a Dewgong?
Not necessarily with a Dewgong. I kind of don't want to say this because I don't want, like, I don't want to cause suffering for our listeners. It's not a thing I want to do, but I think it would be funny if people in their next encounter with a shiny used like Guillotine or Fissure or Sheer Cold, one of the one-hit KO moves, like, had a Pokemon that's, like, really low level, like, try to use that just to be, like, living on the edge, you know?
And, like, if it, like...
Well, if it hits, they die.
Well, if it hits, like, is that more, like, I missed, so this was meant to, like, I was meant to catch you.
Right, if right. I hit you. It's like a rite of passage. Like,
Travis just wants to play Russian roulette with Chinese.
I really do. Well, I don't. I want other people to do it, and I can watch it.
I mean, the bond you would have between the Pokemon that survives.
I'm pretty sure the one-hit KO moves don't work if you're at a lower level. I'm, like, 90% sure.
So if you're, I guess if you're just like around the same level as it.
Yeah, and then like it increases in accuracy the higher you are compared to the other Pokemon. I'm pretty sure.
I feel like if you had a this is for any of our listeners, if you had a YouTube channel dedicated to like hunting shinies and killing them. Just for the pleasure of like getting views, I feel like that channel would be very successful.
Yeah,
I'm just saying, just putting it out there. I mean, if you want to do it and you wanna feature those videos on PKMNcast.com,
it's like those people who like watching car crashes and stuff.
Right.
You'd have a lot of not happy people.
I think we have to leave on that note because I don't know if anything can top that. Really.
What about a channel where you just release shiny whole boxes of shiny Pokemon?
You convince people to lend you their shinies,
and then ow!
That would be the worst thing ever.
Pokemon Podcast is not condoning the activity of lending the shinies and then releasing them for video content.
No, we do not.
Shiny Pokemon. Still have not seen one. In the wild. I mean, I've seen them around.
I've never seen a Pokemon.
Ever.
In real life.
I keep looking. When I was...
There's just no tall grass around here.
My mom kept cutting the grass.
I live on a college campus. So we hire people to mow.
Kenny, where can they find you?
You can find me on Twitter at Super Bailey, and that's Bailey like the Pokemon, my one and only.
That dog was excited to find you.
I'm sorry. Sorry about that dog.
That dog. Travis, dog, where can they apologies. Find you?
You should name this episode "How to Apologize to Dogs." You can find me at twitter.com/TheTravisW.
The Travis W. Sorry, I got an email and I got thrown off. But now I'm back.
Thrown off.
You can find me at Dragging a Lake. And you can find the show on Twitter at Pokemon Podcast. You can like us on Facebook, facebook.com/PKMNcast. You can find us on Google Plus, Stitcher Radio, Scatter Radio, Omni, iTunes, Windows Marketplace, YouTube, and on the internet. You can find us on Bulbapedia too. We have an article about us. It's cool. It's outdated. Somebody should update it.
Steve, do we have a LinkedIn page?
Yes, we do actually.
Do we really?
Yeah,
Steve. Do we have an official Turtle Seed account?
There's not an official Turtle Seed account.
Steve, do we have a Friendster page?
No.
Steve, are we on the new MySpace?
We're not, unfortunately. But there is a LinkedIn, surprisingly. Pokemon Podcast is like a little... If you go to my LinkedIn profile, there's a picture. It's there. Just saying. No hate.
Appreciate.
Thank you, Kenny.
No, thank you. And the barking dogs, thank you as well.
That dog. Thank you, yeah. Travis.
Yeah, you're welcome.
Yeah, fair enough. Before I forget, I will be at C2E2 this weekend.
This W2E2.
I will be speaking on Sunday at 1:30 at C2E2 about Pokemon, and I will be we will be recording the show like we do every year, and that will be on iTunes a day or two afterwards for our listeners. But if you are in the area, the Chicago area, I would really highly recommend you make it out to the show. C2E2 is very great, and they're very good to me for letting me speak a fourth year in a row. So that is this weekend. I don't know the prices. I think Sunday, though, is way cheaper than every other day. But, yeah, I'm going to be talking about Pokemon, and that's all I have now. I apologize. I almost forgot. But to Travis, to Kenny, this has been another episode of the Pokemon Podcast, and we are
super effective.
Super effective.
Good night, everyone.
Yeah, good night.